Let me guess. You are exhausted. You are doing all the things, pushing through, showing up, grinding it out. But no matter how much you get done, you still feel on edge. Or maybe you are the opposite. You are stuck. You know you need to take action, but every time you sit down to do a thing, you freeze. Your to-do list is growing, your motivation is shrinking, and you have no idea why. What if I told you it's not just your mindset, it's your nervous system? Today, we are talking about why so many of us feel stuck in stress mode. Whether that's constantly overworking, feeling emotionally drained, or people-pleasing to avoid conflict. And I have got the perfect guest to break it all down. Olivia Bowen is a coach, mom, and former nonprofit leader turned soulful business strategist. She is the founder of Sacred Nature Coaching, where she helps entrepreneurs grow thriving, ease-filled business that actually feel good to run. Her approach blends neuroscience, strategy, and a deep reverence to her approach blends neuroscience, strategy, and deep reverence for nature's rhythm. If you ever wondered why rest doesn't feel restful or why slowing down feels harder than hustling, this episode is for you. Let's get into it. Welcome to Mastering Your 30s and Living My 40s. The podcast where we navigate the twists and turns of life's most transformative decades. If you are in your 30s, this is your guide to slowing down, enjoying the ride, and making smart investments in your future health, wealth, and well-being. And if you are in your 40s, like me, this is a space to share wisdom, reflect on the lessons learned, and have honest conversations about what this decade really looks like. I'm Alev Bakan, a health and life coach and founder of Health & Co. Every week, we dive into the challenges, growth, and mindset shift that comes with this journey. Because what's the fun in going through the ups and downs alone when we can be each other's cheerleaders, encouragers, and wisdom sharers? Now, let's dive deep into today's conversations with Olivia Bowen. Hi, Olivia.
Hi, Alev. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
It's so great to see you. I see you more often than my other guests, but still seeing you here now being a guest for my podcast is very nice for me too. So
I'm so excited we're doing this.
Yes. Okay, Olivia, who are you and what do you do?
Easy, simple question. For the purposes of this conversation, I will start with the fact that I am a certified life coach. I'm a business mentor. I'm an energy healer. And I fold all of that into my work with soul-centered entrepreneurs, helping them change how they are doing business so that it actually becomes a regenerative experience, because I believe that entrepreneurship can be a tool for healing and for making your life and your day-to-day more energized. I think there's this misconception that it has to be really draining. And so I'm here to flip that on its head. So that's the professional background that I'm bringing to today. But I'm also a nature lover. I'm a mama. I have two little girls. One is turning 8 at the end of this month, and the other is 5 3/4, as she will tell you. And then I've been married to my incredible husband for, I think, our 15th anniversary is coming up this year. So yeah, lots of different facets.
Yes. And What I love about what you are doing, like you mentioned, is that you are going against that belief that entrepreneurship is a big roller coaster. It's still a big roller coaster, but make that roller coaster enjoyable.
And I think there's a quote from one of the sharks on Shark Tank. And she says, entrepreneurs will work 80 hours a week to avoid working 40 hours a week. And I was like, no, I'm not doing 80 hours a week. Yeah. That's insane. That is not why I ventured onto this path.
Yeah. And today we are going to talk about something not new, but something that I maybe don't practice that much. And I would love to hear more about everything about it. So we are going to talk about the nervous system regulations, right?
Yes.
It sounds so scientific. So can you please explain to regular human beings like myself, what do you mean about it?
Yeah. So nervous system regulation, people are probably familiar with the terms fight or flight and maybe freeze or fawn, right? These responses that we have to experiences that we encounter throughout our lives. Mm-hmm. So if your kid runs out into the street, you are going to have an activated response. You are going to move up into fight or flight, depending on your reaction. And that's appropriate, mm-hmm. right? Or if you're just totally wiped out at work, you're going to feel yourself more depleted and you're going to move down into freeze or fawn, where it's just, oh my gosh, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Again, an appropriate response to what is happening in your life. The problem is, or the challenge comes when we spend too much of our lives either up in fight or flight or down in freeze or fawn, mm-hmm. because it doesn't feel good.
It's not our regular self to stay that much on the...
Oh, I would say it's very normal, it's not where we want to be. It's super common.
Okay.
Yeah, people will spend years in these activated states. I spent most of my 30s, probably most of my 20s and teens too, in flight mode. And for me, what that looked like was constant doing. Mm-hmm. So I always thought of it as like avoidance. Mm. But when I realized my obsession with to-do lists, and my lists of my lists and all the things that I have to do before I can even sit down and take a pause, that's flight mode. And that is how I spent a huge chunk of my life. That was just my nervous system being what we call dysregulated.
Okay.
So what I try to help people do is learn how to regulate your nervous system, how to bring it down into this central state. So if you think about it like a ladder, at the top, and Deb Dana is the queen of all things nervous system. So this comes directly from her. At the top of the ladder is fight or flight. At the bottom of the ladder is freeze or fawn. And in the middle of the ladder is this regulated sort of hunky-dory state.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of being in this regulated state is that we can take thoughtful action on our problems and challenges. Mm. So it's totally fine to be dysregulated, move up or down, but you want to move out of that and into this regulated center of the place so that you can be more intentional about your life. And there are lots and lots of very simple ways that people can do it.
Now that we understood what nervous regulation system is, how can we understand that we are not in that middle of the ladder and we are either up or down? How can we know? Like, you gave an example from yourself. So is there any other like major, most common like signs that people who are maybe listening right now will say, oh my God, I haven't even realized, but this is not my regular self.
Yeah.
Or my regular self is not the middle of the ladder.
Self is dysregulated.
Yes.
Which you might, and before I even get into that, I just want to say it's so important to not have judgment
Of course.
Around being dysregulated, because it is always your nervous system trying to keep you safe.
Mm-hmm.
We have these nervous system responses as a survival mechanism, mm-hmm. right? They've developed to help us escape predators and to make sure we have food. So it's just not tuned to 2025.
Yeah.
So having compassion, if you realize, oh my gosh, I've been in fawn for 15 years, just recognizing that can be so helpful. So if you were moving up the ladder, fight can look like, why are you just angry all the time? Why are you just like super snappish with your kids? Why are you just like having so little patience for everything and road rage, right? Anything where you're just like, oh, I just want to smack something or throw a pillow. We can all relate to this.
Yeah.
Flight, just the inability to sit down, having to do all the things. I see this in women so often. Like, my husband is so great at resting before he jumps into taking action on something. Right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I know I have to do that, but first I'm going to finish this soccer game.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, no, I have to clean the kitchen and put away the clothes before I can sit down and watch something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just being in flight mode. So this is his nervous system being more regulated than mine when that shows up.
Okay.
And then we can move down the ladder into freeze or fawn. So if you are in freeze state, the opposite of that flight go energy, mm-hmm. gosh, why can't I just make myself do this? This pile has been there for so long. Why can't I just make myself put it away or take care of it?
Mm-hmm.
Or just things building up, right? You have to take care of something and you're just not able to. Or maybe you are like in the binge watching marathon to end all binge watching marathons. Mm-hmm. That's just your nervous system saying that it needs this downtime. Or fawn shows up as people pleasing, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, my boss is a jerk, but I'm not going to say anything because I need to protect my job.
Yeah.
It's a very real thing. It's a very real response to what's happening in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Or my mother-in-law is driving me nuts, but I'm just going to keep my mouth shut to keep the peace in the family. So mm-hmm. that is fawning. That is a nervous system response.
I am sure many people will now say that, oh my God, what I'm doing right now. But before going into how to regulate our nervous system, I just have one little question. Does being in those modes, like either on the very high or the very low, is it something that we learn, or is it something like that is so familiar for us that we can sometimes regulate ourselves, our nervous system, but being on that high is our safe mode?
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And our nervous system will choose a familiar situation, even if it's not serving us,
yeah,
over an unfamiliar situation that would probably serve us better. So this discomfort of being in one of these activated states is actually really comfortable for many of us.
Yeah.
And so this initial stage of learning how to bring ourselves up or down, can any numbing behavior
mm-hmm.
is a sign of being in freeze mode. So if you're like mindless scrolling, mindless mm-hmm. shopping, for me, I can tell, I don't drink much alcohol at all anymore,
mm-hmm.
but I can tell I am in a heightened nervous system state. And I'm like, oh, I just want to have a glass of wine. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, there's my clue. Okay. I can do some of these other things first. That's going mm-hmm. to give me a much better effect than that mm-hmm. glass of wine. And then if I want a glass of wine for pleasure later, that's very different from reaching for it as a regulating technique.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
How do we do it? What are the methods? I know there are many different ways to do it, but what are the most common or easy to start with methods that we can use?
Yeah. And before I get into the specifics,
mm-hmm.
it can be really helpful to just think about where do you tend to be? Are you in that upper fight or flight?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Or are you in that lower freeze or fawn? Mm-hmm. Because they're going to ask different things of your energy to bring you back into the central state. So if you're up in fight or flight, you have energy that needs to be released or discharged from your body. So if you only remember that, because you can do that so many different ways.
Sure.
And if you're down in freeze or fawn, you need to draw up a little energy, cultivate a little bit of energy so you can take action. Mm-hmm. So they're asking different things. And sometimes you can do the same thing for either one and it's going to work.
For example, exercise, I think for me, exercising can be both for me. Because even if I'm on the up, if I do my exercise, I slow down just as much as I need so that I go to this regulated mode. And if I'm also down, I can work out and this will give me a jump start, like kind of effect.
Absolutely. And if you are in that freeze state, going to a kickboxing class might sound impossible.
Yeah.
So you might need something really gentle, like just a walk in nature is fabulous. So nature is universally regulating. Mm-hmm. But if you are in fight mode, I do this workout class, which has cathartic yelling worked into it.
I know.
So if I'm in that state and we're just like, oh my gosh, I just want to bring someone's neck. I'm like, mama's going to go to the basement. I'm going to do the class. You might hear some yelling and grunting. And I come out feeling so much better because I've just discharged it in a safe way.
Okay.
So yeah, exercise and tuning into the right version. Experiment with what feels right to you, depending on how you're feeling. Hugs, 20-second hugs can be really regulating. And if you think about it, if you were in a really vulnerable state, you would not be stopping for 20 seconds to hug someone. Mm-hmm. So it's just an automatic signal to your body to release the hormones that are going to calm you down. Mm-hmm. So if you have a partner or a kiddo who's up for a snuggle, that's great. Or if you have a good friend, again, my husband and his best friend are actually really sweet about this. They are championship huggers. They'll just be giving each other a good hug. Or if you have a pet, snuggling a pet. So there are lots of ways to get that. And then there's this whole other sphere of techniques that can be really useful. And you don't need a partner. You don't need time to work out. That these can be quick. Mm. And what they do is they stimulate your vagus nerve. You don't really have to worry about what that is, but the vagus nerve rules the nervous system. And it extends from behind your eyes and ears. It's technically a bundle of nerves. It goes this sheep down your spine. And then it comes back out and it wraps around so many of your organs, which is why we get things like butterflies in our stomach. Just your vagus nerve responding to
similar.
So we can actually massage the vagus nerve and start to bring on a calming state. And how on earth do you do this?
I'm assuming somewhere here, not.
We're going to be. Touching our heads a little bit. Have you ever just pressed the palms of your hands into your eyes? You're really tired and you're just like, and you put the heels of your hands and kind of press on your eyeballs for a few seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Part of why that feels so good is because it's going to press your eye on your vagus nerve. Okay. Start this calming response. So if you really want to go for it, like after a long drive, I will do that. Press the heels of my hands into my eyes. And take a few deep breaths. And there are so many ways you can breathe for nervous system regulation. If your exhale is longer than your inhale, it's going to have a calming effect. If you want to do 5-7-8 breathing, where you breathe in for 5, hold for 7, breathe out for 8, great. Go for it. If all you do is remember to exhale longer, that's great too.
Like you said, right after a car ride, it doesn't even have to be long. Sometimes if even 10, 15 minutes car ride when the kids are fighting, things are going on, you just I think this will be a very nice patch for us to recover. Yeah, from that.
If you're getting the kids out to school to drop off and you just need a minute, you can do that. Yeah. Another one that I love and that my kids love. Oh. So we call this puppy ear massage in our house. And you know how if you have a dog and you massage their ears, they just melt into
melt.
It.
Melt, yeah.
Yeah. We are the same. And so you can just start down on your earlobes, maybe take out earrings if you have some in. Uh-huh. And you work your way up and around the cartilage so that you go in a little spiral, stick your finger in the outer part of your ear a little bit and just wiggle it around. And that is also going to press right on the vagus nerve. Okay. You can go behind your ear a little bit and do the same thing. And when you do it, you might notice that you yawn.
Oh.
And that is a really good sign. Yawning is a sign of regulating, and it's also can help facilitate that regulation. A lot of the things that kids will do that I was certainly taught were rude, like a big yawn or a big sigh or fluttering their lips. They can be read as rude, but they are actually fabulous nervous system regulation techniques.
Oh, I see.
So if you are a parent and you notice your kid having these big, heavy sighs, let them do it. Because what they are going to be more calm, more centered after that. And your life is going to be easier.
And they are like exhaling.
Yeah.
They are exhaling longer, inhaling very short.
They do it naturally.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we're taught that it's rude. And so then we suppress all of these things that are actually really helpful.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
And then another one that I love that I've been using a lot personally lately and that my clients tend to love is just heel drops, which is super simple. You just stand up, go up on your tippy toes and plop onto your heels. And if you do this a few times and you can, if you have a regular job, you can go to the bathroom. This is something you can easily do in a bathroom stall before or after a big meeting. You can do it in line. It's so accessible and you just plop and just shed some of that energy, releases it into the ether.
I see. Any tips for us to stay in that regular nervous system? I know it's very unique for everybody. Like everybody, maybe they have their own struggle, so they will have their own solution. But like a common method or way to do it.
So you can do a lot of these things proactively, right? So you don't have to wait until you're feeling really activated to do some of these. So like people who have regular exercise routines can feel those benefits all day. If you can habit stack and work some breathing into your brushing your teeth and then you do 5 deep breaths. So just building that in, my coach calls it nervous system hygiene. I love that. You just build it into your hygiene routine. And it can really pay dividends all day. And again, the point is not so much to always stay in that middle state.
Sure.
We're supposed to have responses. We're human.
Of course.
But noticing when we are having those, how are we coping with it? Are we just leaning harder into the frenzy of cleaning the whole apartment and doing all the things? Or are we taking that moment to just recognize, oh, look here.
Yeah.
I'm feeling off. And sometimes I choose to lean into the frenzy.
But I think it's also important to stay in that fight mode and then be able to
come back down
the regulated mode, right? So we need to learn how to do that.
And so using these practices, but then also for longer term benefits, it's noticing the patterns in your life. What is it that's always sending you into these states? And what can you do to solve that root problem? Is it time for a new job? Is it time to have that big conversation with your partner? Is it like, are there different systems that need to be in place around household responsibilities? So it can really be powerful clues for other things in your life that are asking for attention.
Yeah, I think so. And that's the most important part, especially since we are focusing on health for women in their 30s. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, usually during that decade, we try to do things and we don't question how we feel about it or how they are affecting us. So we are constantly trying to survive. But like you said, first of all, understanding that dysregulations and then regulate it, but then question how frequently they happen and why they happen and how can we solve it. Yes. It could be extremely beneficial for any age, mm-hmm. of course, but for our 30s, I think it's the essential tool, right?
It's life-changing. If you can tune into the fact that every day when you leave work, you are going to reach for that glass of wine as soon as you get home, what do you need to look at in your work situation?
Yeah.
And maybe you don't need to change your job. Maybe you just need to draw some boundaries. That, like, I needed to learn how to draw boundaries at work because I was overgiving in every possible aspect. And then I felt depleted. What a shame.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really an opportunity to make meaningful change that is going to pay off for years to come.
Yeah. And what I'm assuming is you are making your client realize which state they are when you are coaching them, right?
Mm-hmm. It comes up often. So this is something that I use with so many of my clients. I was talking with one of them earlier this week, and she was saying how she has the bulk of her business and she can get those things done. She's like, but then I have this list. It's like open tabs in her brain mm-hmm. of things that will not take long, but she's been avoiding them. And it's just been like this loop for months. And so we wrote it out. Mm-hmm. I know you could get all of this done in about 2.5 hours. And yet you haven't been able to take action for 4 months. Mm-hmm. So I have a hunch you're defaulting to this freeze mode and you need to cultivate some energy. And so we talked about what would feel really good for her. And she said, you know what else has been on my list? Going to a dance class.
Oh.
I was like, ah, perfect. What a joyful way to cultivate some energy. So her assignment this week is to dance every day.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I was like, just start to move your body. You can go to a class. You can do it at home. Make it joyful. It can be one song if you want to keep going. I was like, we're not even going to worry about tackling the list. We're going to worry about cultivating this energy, bringing it up. And I have a feeling that after maybe a week or two of this, there's going to be an afternoon where you're like, oh my gosh, let me just get these things done. And they're almost going to resolve themselves.
Mm. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I can use this technique too. I listen lots of music when I'm working with the computer, all this like desktop jobs that mm-hmm. I need to do. So sometimes I get up and move. So maybe this is my nervous system calling and saying, just get up.
Yes. Yeah. And it all works together. And so much of self-care can feel either frivolous or laborious. Oh, I have to do the journaling and the meditating and the this. What if it didn't? What if it was just stuff that you actually like? And making time to do the stuff you actually like, because that might have the biggest benefit.
Yeah, I always tell my clients, if what you are doing to release that energy or to gain that energy back is not making you comfortable, don't do it. Because if you are constantly fighting with yourself, let's just find another way to relax yourself or to get that energy out.
If relaxing is stressing you out.
Yeah. What's the point?
Maybe try something else.
Yeah.
With the caveat that it is also helpful to remember that if we are so used to being in one state, it can be uncomfortable. When I started my business a few years ago, my number one goal was to not overwork because that had been my default for so long. Mm-hmm. It was so uncomfortable. to make myself shut my computer, to not reach the end of my to-do list, to trust that this was the right way for me to build my business because it was unfamiliar. But now, I forget, 3+ years in, I haven't had a whisper of burnout. I am happier and healthier and more energized than I ever was in my 20s or 30s. But it took months of being uncomfortable with the peace.
I see.
So it can be a little bit of a contradiction sometimes too.
Yeah. Yeah, you are right. Because like we also said, sometimes the known chaos feels much safer than unknown peace, right?
Exactly.
So what is your typical client? Who can work with you?
I'll work with all kinds of people on all kinds of things, but the bulk of my business and where I've really focused my business over the past year is working with what I call soul-centered entrepreneurs. So this is anybody who has a mission-driven business or wants to contribute to the greater good and who allows space for either the spiritual or the mystical. Maybe they have traditional religious practice. Maybe they just know that when they are in nature, they feel really good. Maybe they pull tarot cards. It can look like anything, but just cracking the door to knowing that there's something bigger at play and how we can work with that energy in our work.
Sync with that energy, right?
Yeah.
Sync ourselves with that energy.
Yes. And I'll meet people. I have people who are devout Christians. I have people who are much more mystical. And it doesn't always explicitly come into the coaching, but I've found that it's really helpful to have just that shared worldview as we are navigating their businesses, because it is a different perspective than if someone is like, it's just me and I've got to make it work and I'm in control. Great. I'm probably not the right coach for you.
I see.
But what I love about the work that I'm doing right now is our business and our life are so interconnected. So if you are having problems at home, it's going to impact your business. And if your business is stressing you out, it's going to impact your home.
Yeah.
And so my clients right now are totally game to delve into any and all of it. So one day we might be working on your marketing strategy. Another day we might be talking about a challenge your daughter's going through and how that's really consuming you and how you might want to handle that.
Yeah, because it's affecting your marketing strategy too. So at the end, like you said, your personal life is, maybe this is not the ideal way to do it, but your personal life is right in the middle of your business and your business is right in the middle of your personal, at least for myself, personal life. And I try to, of course, have some boundaries, but still, I think that's the part of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And we're just, we're complex people. And even if you work for somebody else, it's all so interconnected. So to think that you can handle, if you can just address the boss conversation without looking at the rest of it, I think it's pretty limited. But the flip side of that is, we also see the payoff across all aspects of our life.
Yeah.
So when we learn how to speak up and be a better advocate for our business, guess what happens in your personal life? You're less likely to take nonsense from people and you learn how to be an advocate.
A muscle, right? That you learn how to work with. So once you start using that muscle in your, let's say, business life, then you can also use that muscle in your personal life.
Exactly. So sometimes people will come to a session like, I don't know if we should talk about X or Y. I'm like, it probably doesn't matter because it's all going to get us to the kind of resolution that you need. So there are so many paths to it. Yeah. So that's been, it's been really fun to play with just the totality of it with my clients.
And you have personal coaching and also some group coaching, right?
So I do, I have some one-on-one sessions, but then my signature program, the Thrive Experience, is opening for the April cohort, and I only run it twice a year. So this is an 8-week group program. Really, this really is business focused.
Business.
But again, you're going to see the payoff everywhere.
Of course.
And we take all the responsibilities that an entrepreneur, especially a solopreneur, has.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about the C-suite, you're the CEO, you're the chief marketing officer, operations, finance. It's all you often.
Yeah.
But those titles and terms can have so much baggage. Like the way I'm a CEO for my business is very different from my wonderful CEO at the $4 billion organization I was at before this. And I want it that way. I don't want to be him. We do have some of the same responsibilities. So I took all of that and I actually mapped it to systems in nature. So I mapped it to the cycle of the seasons and I mapped it to the growth cycle of a tree.
Oh.
And discerned what lessons can we bring in and how can we do this in a way that is really, again, regenerative. So many people talk about being like a well-oiled machine, which like, I don't want to be that. Thank you very much. That sounds cold and like it might break.
Industrial, very industrial.
Yeah. As opposed to, I look at a model of a thriving meadow where it's all interconnected. Sometimes it's flourishing, sometimes it's resting, but the soil is healthy. Things are happening that you don't even see. That is my inspiration. So that's what I brought to the Thrive experience.
Man.
And we go through it all. We're going to talk about how to hold the vision as a CEO. We're also going to talk about how to conduct really effective market research calls so you know what your people actually want, and then how to build an offer around that. We're going to look at money mindset. We get to dig into all of it. And it's,
you had a workshop, right? A couple of days ago.
Yes.
And I wanted to join so bad, but I had a meeting with a client. So I am dying to join in one of those workshops. I think it's a very important topic. And for those, of course, who doesn't understand what we are talking about, Olivia had a workshop about mostly, I think, for coaches, right?
This was really focused on the energetics of selling. So for business owners who might be telling them stories that selling is hard or it's a hustle or it's slimy, none of that needs to be true. And so we recast that. There is a recording available for a limited time. I think it'll be available for a few more days after this episode comes out. Maybe we can put a link in the show notes, but people can also message me on Instagram. I'm on there at This Is Sacred Nature. You can email me. I'm a one-woman shop. I check all my emails. It's coming right to me. So I'm Olivia at thisissacrednature.com.
Okay.
And all the details, I'm happy to send them your way for either the workshop recording or Thrive Experience or one-on-one coaching, whatever is speaking to you.
But if we go to your Thrive Experience work, let's say group program. It starts, you said, on...
The program kicks off April 8th, but right now, until tomorrow, March 20th, is the early bird promo where folks can save $500. So the cheapest this is ever going to be. If you sign up during this time, you also get a free one-on-one momentum call with me so you can start seeing benefits before the program even starts. And then I have some really good PDFs that can start people on their journey as well. So those are the early bird bonuses through midnight on March 20th. And then CART for the whole program closes April 4th, but you want to get in. There's only 25 spots. So if this is speaking to you, send me any questions you might have. And then we kick off on Tuesday, April 8th. So we meet twice a week. One is a teaching call where I'll be sharing the principles for the week ahead. And then the next day, we have a totally optional but super high value community coaching call where you can bring any questions you have and I will coach you through it. And then your peers in the program who are also brilliant entrepreneurs bring their perspective. And so some of the connections that have been fostered in that have been one of the biggest benefits of the whole program too.
Oh, nice. We have the link in the bio and I'm sure people will be very interested because what you are talking about, instead of thinking ourselves like as a machine, we are going with the flow of the nature and understanding our own nature, I think it's extremely important. And then applying this to our business is crucial, right?
Because our businesses are living beings too.
Like an organ, like a limb or something, like extension of my arm or like leg, something. Yeah, I totally get it. Before diving those three questions that I have, I just want to mention that going back to the nervous system regulations, I think it will be also a very important tool to use for our kids, right? As a mom, we are always trying to teach our kids how to actually regulate their emotions. Mm-hmm. But maybe understanding what our nervous system is dealing with and then regulating it is a better way to praise it, right? And to approach it.
With kids, it's so interesting because we can teach them techniques that are totally kid appropriate, right? We talked about the puppy ears, and I have a few more I'll talk us through. But we can also co-regulate. We see this when they're little babies and they snuzzle up on us and our breathing starts to sink. That's just co-regulating, and they can calm down because they're picking up on you. Uh-huh. So we can do that as they get older too. And sometimes I'll say, my kids hate it when I tell them to take deep breaths. It does not work for them. But I can take deep breaths in front of them and almost be exaggerated about it. And even that signals to them that there is a safety here.
Of course.
Dysregulated. And even just recognizing like, oh, she's having a meltdown because her nervous system is out of whack. She's not trying to like make it impossible for me to get out the door. It can just build in a little compassion buffer. But my kids actually taught me this before I learned it in any of my other trainings, but butterfly tapping. So you just cross your arms across your chest. So your right hand is going to be on your left shoulder and your left hand on your right shoulder. And you just tap one shoulder and then the other at any pace that feels good to you. And that bilateral stimulation, that crossing your body, helps bring the two hemispheres of your brain into sync. Mm-hmm. And that can help calm your system.
Like a hug to yourself.
So we've got puppy ears, we've got butterfly tapping. And then the one that is all the rage in kindergarten at my daughter's school is what we call starfish breathing. And you just hold out your hand and you trace your other hand. So I'm holding up my left hand, I'm taking my right pointer finger and I'm just tracing up my pinky, and I breathe in as I go up. I breathe out as I go down. And I breathe in as I go up my ring finger, and I breathe out as I go down. And you just, it's basically a really tangible way for little kids to take 5 deep breaths.
Even for the grown-ups.
Like grown-ups too.
I will use that. Yeah, so I think this can be something that we can all do together as a family, even when you have toddlers and teenagers.
And so we did this. We were taking the kids to the dentist. They were a little anxious about it. Mm. And so it's the 5-4-3-2-1 game. Mm. And you just go through your senses. And so you can do this if your kid's especially anxious heading to something, maybe a big game or they have a performance or a test. Mm. Doing this in the car can just help ground them into their bodies and their surroundings. And so you're just taking them through their senses. So what are 5 things you can see? What are 4 things you can hear? And don't worry too much about the order. It's just, it's easiest to see 5 things.
Yeah,
and then maybe hear 4 things. Touch 3 things. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, the feel of my shirt, the seatbelt across my chest, the smoothness of the door. Mm-hmm. I will flip whether 2 is smell usually, and then taste. I can usually only do 1 thing. Like, what am I tasting in my mouth right now?
Yeah.
But that can be a really great way. And that works with kids of all ages. Your 14-year-old might really not be into butterfly tapping, but you might get them to play along with the 5-4-3-2-1 game.
Actually, I asked my kids about this.
You did?
And they taught me a system like that works exactly like following your finger around your hand, but it's like instead of this, you tap on each section of your finger and then you breathe in, and then on your way up, you breathe out.
So you're starting at your fingertip and then the middle pad of your finger.
Yes, yes. And then
the bottom one. So you breathe in as you go down.
And then you breathe out as you go up.
I like that one.
Yeah. And it's also, I think, when they are angry or when they are frustrated with something, it's also grab their attention because they look at their fingers or something. So apparently they are using it. So I'm like, okay, thank you. Use it more often so that we can benefit from it more often. You will understand me.
Yep.
Yours are cute. Mine are cute too. But if you are listening, they are always going to be cute for me. But that teenager thing is a real thing.
The hormones are going to be coming for me.
Yeah. I know. They are coming. They are coming. Yeah. So let's start with our question, and I'm sure we will also have more details about nervous system regulations when you are answering those. So what were the breaking points in your 30s that made you change something in your life?
I was reflecting on this question. I was like, holy moly, my 30s were a lot.
Yeah.
So much happened in that decade. I had both my kids in my 30s. I also spent most of my career in one organization that I still love and hold dear. But the big thing was I had such ambition, which I stand by. But I was like, I know what job I want. I got them to create my dream job. It was a director level position. I advocated for it for years. I told them, I was like, I'm just going to do it. Right. And this is a big organization. So I was just like, this is what we're going to do. And eventually you'll come around and pay me for it. And I was right. So I wound up getting the position of director of internal communications for a $4.5 billion public health nonprofit nationwide. And I came back from maternity leave and I was working on this huge project in this new role. And then COVID hit. And all of a sudden, I'm at home with my babies, working in my basement office, literally working around the clock at a time when I thought I was going to be getting a break from this other big project that actually got canceled because of COVID. And by December of 2020, I was so depressed. I was sobbing on the floor of my basement office. Just depleted on every level. And my body was depleted from nursing and pregnancy.
Of course.
My spirit was depleted from the state of our country. My everything was wrung out. And bless my husband, he came down and he sees me just in a puddle. And he said, have you called your therapist?
No.
And I was like, no, I can't even do that. I'd spent so long in flight that I just plummeted right into freeze.
Oh.
And so to his credit, can I call your therapist? And I said yes. So he got me back on track with Anna Lee, my wonderful therapist. But I knew at that moment that this was not sustainable and that something had to change, even though the work I was doing is what I had been working towards.
Yeah.
The whole decade, and I finally got it, and it was so valuable, and I was working with executives, shaping messaging, helping people's lives. So much of it was right, except it was wrong. And so I set my goal for the next year, for 2021. I have to find my soul's work and start taking steps towards that. Whatever that looks like, I have no idea. I surrender, but I have to find the path. Maybe a month or 6 weeks later, I was doom scrolling before bed. All the good behaviors.
Oh, my God.
But this time.
Never done that. So I don't know what you are talking about.
No, you would never. You're so enlightened. But I saw an ad for Martha Beck's Wayfinder Life Coach training program. Mm-hmm. And I'd been reading her work for years, a few years prior when I was pregnant with my older daughter. Mm-hmm. But my husband's a writer. I've always been the one with the stable income and benefits. And so we were welcoming a baby. I was like, I could never do that. And this time, now I had two babies, two little ones. And my reaction was, I have to do that. I can't afford not to do that. So I started the program. No, I made a PowerPoint presentation, like the good little comms professional that I was, to take my husband through why this was a good idea.
Oh, my, so cute.
I was like, I want to talk you through this. Let me get my computer. I made you a PowerPoint. And he just looks at me, he's like, what are you doing? Sign up for it. You don't need the pitch deck. But that really changed everything. Just setting that intention, remaining open to whatever form it came in. And then as I proceeded into that program, I learned tools that were changing my life. I started practice coaching. Bless my friends who let me practice coach them in those early days, because I was not...
Of course.
Cultivating those skills.
Yeah, we all have been there.
But yeah, that COVID winter cracked me wide open and set me onto this path that has been more joyful and wonderful than I ever thought I would have.
But if it's not too personal, do you think you will have the same path if there was no COVID and you were going to the office?
I mean, the seeds were planted. I think it might have taken me longer to get here.
Yeah. Because it's like a distraction, right? You are going out of the house, so you have less pressure. But still, you will, at one point, I'm assuming you would feel that urge to do something else, right?
Yeah. And I had wanted to do it years before. I've been reading personal development books my whole life. Mm-hmm. So I hope I would have gotten here anyway, but this is the path the universe laid out, and I'm just glad I took it.
Yeah, I'm glad you took it too. And thinking about that, can you tell us one thing that you swore by in your 30s that you don't believe in anymore?
Hustling. I hustled so hard. I look back with such compassion. What was I doing? I worked all the time. I would sign off, have dinner as a family, get the kids to bed, and then be back on my computer from 7:30 until 11. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in bed at 9:30. There's just no way.
And it's not like you have less thing to do, right?
But I do less. I am much more discerning. Mm-hmm. Before I would do All the things. Now I'm super clear on what is just not worth it, which is a lot of it. And I'm really clear on like what does get the payoff and focusing my attention there. I'm also so much more okay with imperfection because it's the reality of life. I just don't care. I'm not ever going to be perfect. I'm a deep believer in excellence. And I'm going to deliver excellence for my clients. I'm going to make sure that they have an outstanding experience. But this fine tuning that I would do when like it really doesn't matter, good enough is good enough.
And would you think that that sometimes that desire for fine tuning is also a sign of some dysregulation? Like either you are on the fight mode or you are down.
Yeah, it could be fawn, right? It could be flight. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like going that direction and needing an excuse to be in that dysregulation, right?
1,000%. And right now I've changed so much of my life that it's so much easier for me to be regulated. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not reaching for those behaviors because they're familiar.
Yeah. Okay. That makes total sense. And so let's say you have Olivia, who is 30 years old, in her early 30s, right across you right now. And she is listening. What would you tell her to do, not to do, or to be careful with.
Yeah. I got a little emotional thinking about this question. So I have a couple of things I would want her to know, knowing that she's got to walk her own path and do her own thing. And I wouldn't change anything because it got me to where I am. I can see this so clearly with my kids. I love them and they are worthy and enough because they exist, not because they clean their room. But I think to my younger self, regardless of what you do or think you can do, and this really came, I was really sick last year for about 3 months when I could do nothing. I couldn't parent. I couldn't work. I could do literally nothing. So I really had to confront, who am I and what am I if I am sleeping for 16 hours a day and listening to audiobooks the rest of the time? And that was actually one of the most healing experiences I've ever had, because everything was stripped away and shed. And my family still, bless them, like, they loved me. My kids still wanted to snuggle me. And it helped me connect with a sense of worthiness and enoughness that has been so liberating. And now I feel totally emboldened to go for even bigger, more ambitious things, because it is, I'm not proving anything. I just get to experience it. So that's the number one thing I would tell her. On a similar route, trust the process, babe. Just trust the unfolding, right? The things that have led me most to this wonderful life that I have are like a COVID meltdown and an Epstein-Barr resurgence. Like, I wouldn't pick those, but that was the universe course correcting. Here you go. Over here. Settle in. Learning when things aren't going the way I think they should, to really just trust the process, even when it's gnarly. But then on a more practical level, to facilitate both of those things, lean into shadow work. Doing some Jungian shadow work has been so transformative. And so for folks, because I marinate in this space, I will mention Jungian shadow work at parties and be like, what are you talking about? So it's, what are the aspects of yourself that feel less than, or that you're judging, or that you're ashamed of, and that you're keeping hidden in the shadows? Because we all have things, and we might not even be aware of what they are. But the more we can start to identify those parts of ourselves and offer them total love and acceptance, even the really shameful parts, the more we can become full integrated beings and the more freely we can move through the world. So this has been my big push over the last 6 months or so. And it has been wild, the transformation from engaging in like thoughtful shadow work.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like it. So you think that 30-year-old Olivia will benefit from that shadow work, right? And it will...
Absolutely.
Yeah. A reality check, maybe? With yourself?
It's a little bit of a reality check. But for example, if I have this one person that I care deeply about, but every time I talk to them, I get really irritated. Like, oh, why am I just cranky after? I love this person. And so seeing that as an invitation to be like, well, what is it about this that I find so frustrating? And so what is it about myself that is being frustrated? And how can I offer that part of me just deep love and compassion so that they don't have to spend all that energy being frustrated?
That makes total sense. It was a great conversation, but just before closing up, let's remind our listeners about the Thrive experience. So the starting date
is Tuesday, April 8th is our kickoff call.
Okay.
But the cart closes on Friday, April 4th, so that I can spend a few days making sure everyone feels really welcomed and set up and has everything that they need. Right now, the cart just opened this week. We are in the middle of the early bird window where you get the best bonuses, the best savings, And this goes through midnight on March 20th.
Okay,
so if that speaks to you, send me a message and I'll send you all the details.
Yes. Olivia, thank you so much. It was great to have this conversation, and I hope to do many more because you are like a bundle of information. And so I would love to have you back and do more digging in.
Would be so fun.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Olav.
A huge thank you to Olivia for joining me today and sharing so much wisdom about nervous system regulation, breaking out of stress cycles, and building a business that actually feels good to run. I could talk about this all day. You know, one thing that really stood out to me from this conversation is how much we normalize stress. We tell ourselves that being constantly busy or feeling stuck is just part of life. But what Olivia shared today really flips that. Stress isn't just normal, it's familiar. And we can learn to regulate our nervous system. We can actually create a version of success that doesn't come with exhaustion. That's something I wish I had learned sooner, and I hope it resonates with you too. And if today's conversation resonated with you, then you need to check out Olivia's Thrive Experience, her signature 8-week program for soul-centered entrepreneurs. Her next cohort is kicking off April 8th, and if you want to grow your business in a way that aligns with you without burnout, this is your chance. And the spots are limited, so be sure to check it out. And you can find all the details in the show notes, or you can directly connect with Olivia on Instagram at This Is Sacred Nature. As always, Health & Co. is here to help you build better habits, create a life that actually works for you, and or master your 30s with intention. If you love this episode, please, please share it with a friend who needs to hear it. And don't forget to hit follow so you never miss an episode. That's it for today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up for yourself. And I will see you next week. Until next time, be good to yourself.